from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That was Trey Essex with the Fan Morning Show. Kudos to those guys for booking in one of our favorite people to talk to about offensive line play, a guy who played on the Steelers' offensive line. He gave a pretty detailed synopsis of a lot of the things Broderick Jones did wrong against Gregory Rousseau. It was jarring, Donnie. I don't know if it was for you like it was for me. It was just weird to see a guy who I know, we all know, like it even spawned us wondering if he was just ticked off and not dogging it out there, but I guess kind of dogging it out there. It was just odd to see a guy that we all watched last year acquit himself reasonably well at right tackle, particularly given the fact that they just kind of threw him in there, looks so bad against a guy who's a good, not great pass rusher. Like, Alex Highsmith is better than Gregory Rousseau, and Broderick Jones just got dog-walked by him. And I don't know, man. It was, I don't know if it was comforting to hear Trey Essex say what he said about this, because he made it seem like there are tactical things there, or if it was disheartening because it seemed like such basic stuff that Jones was doing wrong, and this is his second year on that job. But I'm still sussing out how I feel about it. But he not tore into him, but said it was sounds like he was getting like football or tackle 101 wrong in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I think is actually the most concerning part. You guys brought it up yesterday because Alex Kozora put it out there on Twitter, and Trey also referenced it later in this chat with the morning show guys, or maybe they brought it up to him and he got into it a little bit more. There's fear that there's an actual issue with that elbow. He's got a big brace on it, and you heard Trey reference there, like, not necessarily the footwork that was a major issue, which is what you would assume at first with something like this for how bad he looked on Saturday. He said it all came with the punch. Like, there was no power. He got thrown around, and that was that. So now I'm kind of fearful of a real injury being the cause of this. I mean, yeah, you can look at it as, well, maybe that's why he was playing so poorly, but it also means this dude may not be on the field, which is problematic.
Well, let's hear specifically Essex, now that you bring it up, Donnie. Let's hear Essex and what he had to say about that elbow injury.
That if you have a compromised elbow, it could be why he hesitated in using his hands quicker than he did. He was catching way too often and not really punching or striking with his hands or his arms. And so if that's the issue, then, yeah, that could play a part into why he performed the way he performed. But the thing is, when you're an offensive lineman, when you have those long arms that he has, you don't have to punch hard. You don't have to have a Mike Tyson haymaker. You just got to have a firm one, a stiff one, one pause, and just put the hands on the guy as he's coming. You don't need to strike with a whole lot of force. You just got to keep him at bay. And so he has the type of arms, and I think they'll go back to the lab and work on it. Obviously, that's going to be a point of emphasis this week in practice, but I think he'll be fine.
Here's one other thing, just hearing Essex break that down that I thought of, because he also talked a little about Rousseau himself and, you know, gave him his props. That is not a power rusher. You would think the punch would hurt, you know, a weak punch would hurt against a guy who's trying to run right through you. Would you not, Donnie? Like a guy who had the reputation as a, you know, I'm just trying to think of like a power guy, like a Julius Peppers type, a guy who was a great athlete, but he was just stronger than you.
Jared Allen.
Right. Okay.
Trey brought up.
Yeah. Trey brought up, I think, both of those guys, his examples, but like a true power guy. Reggie White was like the ultimate. He was not a linebacker, but at D end, he was the ultimate, just pure power, stronger than the guy trying to block him. Rousseau is very much a speed bend guy, and the idea that the punch was so weak that a speed and bend guy was running right through Broderick Jones, just, it has me thinking that, and Jones, we're going to hear him at the bottom of the hour here, what he had to say in his own words about all of this. We'll have that for you. No matter what he ends up saying about the elbow situation, whether he takes the high road or not or whatever, it'll have me... He's not going to say, my elbow sucks, it's broken in half or whatever. You know, I got a broken freaking elbow. But it's impossible to look at him right now and not think you are at least looking at a compromised or let me put it this way, an uncomfortable player. And it's one thing to be battling through like a tweaked ankle or something, but it seems like what is ailing him right now is on a very fundamental level. Like either the elbow really hurts and he can't extend his arms to punch, or the brace that he's wearing is so clunky and so unnatural for him that it like literally changes how he feels when he's out there actually trying to do his job. Neither one of them is good, by the way. Like both of those present a very real problem for a team that's trying to get the most out of this guy.
Well, I mean, I think the equipment part of it is a bad look on the player and on the team. Like if he has this brace on and it is that detrimental to his game, like, that has to be addressed first and foremost. Like, hey, man, I can't do the things I'm supposed to do with this thing on my arm. Like, that is kind of concerning if it would be – if that part would be true. But, I mean, the fact that he – if he would have no power behind anything he can do on that side, like, that he has no punch, then, yeah, it's kind of a scary thought. Like, where is the health level of that elbow?
So I know they're probably teaching this kind of technique in high school, right? Like, you watch tackles on your team get taught, like, the punch and, like, the basically defeat the pass rusher moves, right? I mean, this is something that's being taught pretty fundamentally to teenagers. Am I correct? I didn't play – I tried a no-ball, Donnie, but I didn't play ball, so I can't say I no-ball. And I certainly wouldn't have been an O-lineman. It stands to reason to me, though, that since it's his right elbow that's in bad shape, wouldn't you want him on the left side? Because aren't you punching with that outside hand more than anything?
It would be more so the outside hand, yeah.
So that's what I don't get, like, in this situation. He's a natural left tackle. He's admitted he's much more comfortable on that side, but he's trying to – I think largely he has tried to be a good soldier about all this and not be grousing publicly about what his role is or the fact that he's – sitting around because Dan Moore literally just has proved. They didn't even try to make Dan Moore a right tackle. They just said, nope, Dan can't do it, and he gets to keep playing left tackle. He was here first. Yeah, nah, 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 like something like that. I would think, one, just go play him on his left side where he's naturally more comfortable. And if this elbow really is something of a concern, it becomes less of one if he's playing on the side of the line at the tackle position where he doesn't have to utilize it as much. Like, you say that the brace is a bad look for him and for them. If his right side is in bad shape, upper body, and it's going to be more exposed that it's in bad shape if he's playing right tackle, it is a horrible look for them that they continue to put him out there. Like, again, now you start to wonder, too, with a situation like this, is he in somebody's doghouse? Did he tick off somebody that he shouldn't have ticked off? And they're almost, like, punishing him. They said that this elbow thing for him has been, whatever it is, has been lingering since, like, one of the first practices of camp. I remain so frustrated by the entire exercise, Donnie. I really do. And I just think it has the potential to, like, not spiral out of control, but to be a huge... thorn in their side for what they want to be this year offensively if that guy never gets it going. Like, could you just imagine a situation where he's just so average that they end up having him be the swing tackle? Like, I'll be pulling my non-existent hair out if that happens.
I mean, yeah, and then it's a terrible look on the organization. It's a terrible look on the position coach in that sense. It would be a bad look on the people that made the selection. And yeah, I mean, onus goes on the player as well for not working out, but that would be a, man, we thought we had a world beater, a franchise left tackle, and here we are in year two, and he's the swing guy, and he can't get past a former fourth-round pick who is a fourth-round pick who is an okay player at best. Like, it would create a domino effect and almost have people completely out on the player as is. Like, I just don't understand. And something that Nick Faribault brought up last week, one of the nights I was talking to him, I thought he made a pretty fair point when he said Broderick Jones athletically probably the best out of all of their tackles, but when it comes to playing the position, he's probably the most raw, especially when you throw him at right tackle. He does not understand, and I don't either, why they are using their most raw tackle to get thrown around left and right. Like, that should be a player you set at a position.
Also that you set at the position that you drafted him to play, which was left. Like, not only is Nick right to say, why are you throwing him around at both positions, but why are you primarily using him at the one that is still, like, more of a backwards one for him? This is one of those times where I do wish the player behind the scenes, I don't know if he is, I guess we'd probably be hearing a little bit more leaking out about it. I wish he was advocating for himself a little more. I think they're almost taking advantage of the fact that the guy seems to be like an all-for-one and one-for-all when he should be putting his foot down a little bit. I'm a first-round pick. Get your agent involved. I know this is a weird thing to say about a guy after he's coming off one of the worst, even though preseason aside, the worst performances like you'll ever see. But, like, get your people involved. Like, the idea that Dan Moore, like, it would be one thing, I guess, that, one, they wouldn't have drafted some of the guys they've drafted if Moore had given them reason to believe. The idea, though, that Dan Moore, having done virtually nothing other than kind of exist and be, in the most base way possible, competent, like, that's been enough to hold off Broderick Jones is just mind-numbing to me. But enough about that for the time being, Donnie. Can you go find our favorite soap opera music and ponies folder and play it, please? We haven't given the people what they really want yet today. We haven't given the people what they deserve, what the people crave, what the people have been thinking about night and day for the last several weeks. Well, I thought you might have it with that long of an intro there.
Well, you know what the issue was there?
Does he have it hidden?
Well, it's not that he has it hidden. He has Aiyuk spelled incorrectly.
Oh, good. How does he have it spelled?
He put an L instead of an I. A-L-U-Y-U-K-S.
Do you think he did that to try to throw people off?
Like, throw us off?
Yeah, like, we can't find it if he's not here.
Probably, knowing him, but I scrolled down and I found it, Malzy.
Thank you.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Aiyuks of our lives.
Boy, it wasn't going to be a complete day on the show without hearing that. Jordan Schultz, 10 minutes ago, sources. The 49ers and Brandon Aiyuk had another meeting yesterday. And hold on, I'm going to start this over again. Can you play the sound one more time? I thought of a better way to do this. Do it. Just play it right back. Second verse, same as the first.
Sends through the hourglass, so are the Aiyuks of our lives.
Sources. The 49ers and wide receiver Brandon Aiyuk had another meeting yesterday. Talks continue to progress on a long-term contract extension. There's been movement on a deal, but there are some minor details that still need to be ironed out with ownership approval. There we go. So that's Jordan Schultz. I don't know. It seems like, just to read quick tea leaves here, Kyle Shanahan earlier today said no further updates. If you go into Crowley's folder, Donnie, he's got a very quick John Lynch clip that you can get queued up here in a second. I will say, I still believe that Pony was given correct information at the time. I do think that the situation has changed. It's like the old from the movie Seven. John Doe is in charge now. Like, it's that part of it. He has the upper hand. I do get the sense that this is now leaning more towards, and this is not without, this is like me not trying to ascertain who has leverage, who's doing PR stunts, who's trying to curry favor. This is just reading the tea leaves very basically in front of your face. It feels like things are trending towards Aiyuk actually staying in San Francisco long term. This is what John Lynch said about the whole situation.
There's not bad blood. I mean, negotiations can get heated. I think it's his first time going through that. No bad blood. I mean, if you know, people that are here see Brandon out here. There's love, a lot of love and respect for the relationship we've had and continue to have and hopefully we'll have into the future.
I don't know about you, but I take that as a guy who wants to keep Brandon Aiyuk. They're just like little thawing in the ice there, Donnie. I don't know. That's how I'm generally reading the situation right now.
I mean, they're going to be running out of time here at some point to figure out if they do want to have him back.
You know what would be kind of funny? They trade him in season because they watch Pearsall and they feel good enough about it, right? Like, could you imagine something goofy like that happening? There's a really like desperate wide receiver needy team. And he comes back and plays, you know, before he necessarily has to because he just decides, screw it, I'll try to put on good tape. And then they just deal him mid-season. Imagine that?
There is no denial that they handled their offseason as if they were not sure about having him back.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, you know, the drafting of a first-round receiver, I think they drafted one in the middle rounds.
Jennings.
As well, they re-signed Juwan Jennings after a huge Super Bowl performance. Like, they definitely put the seeds out there in case they weren't going to have Brandon Aiyuk back.
I just think that ultimately in the end, even though they planned for all of this, I think they're going to end up, for whatever reason, just deciding, you know what, if some other teams are willing to pay him a lot of money, I guess we will be too.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.